I thank the Lord for things that were shared here this morning already, and we have a lot to take in and apply to our lives and just allow the Lord to work through those things. I am thankful this morning to be able to be here with you again. Feels like it's been a long time, and I am thankful for that. Just like to just pause and have time of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you this morning. We thank you for your word. Thank you that you call us and that you you want to draw our hearts to yourself. Lord, we are thankful that you are a God of love and that you leave the choice up to us. We get to choose whether we will follow you or not. And Lord, this morning, I just pray that you would press that into each one of our hearts and lives, that we would purpose and choose to follow you. I just pray this morning that you would be with me as I share. Just pray, Lord, that your word would come forth and that it would come in a way that people can apply it to their hearts and lives. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would be with those that are not here that may be listening in. Lord, I just pray that you would bless them, that you would just bring courage to them, Lord. We thank you. We just want to commit this service to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was thinking about sharing here this morning, I've had actually quite a bit of time to ponder this message here. I had a free Sunday where I wasn't, someone else filled in for me. So that was a blessing, and I enjoy sitting back and listening. At the same time, when a lot of time goes by and I don't have opportunity to share, it feels like it's harder. It's harder to come up here and do this. And so, you know, it's a struggle when I think about sharing, and it's like you want to make this time count. And so what I come down to is I realize is, you know, I can do a piece of it, but I need the Lord to, he needs to touch hearts and lives, and he does. So the title that I would like to give us this morning is Taking Stock of Our Lives. And what motivated me in this message comes from work, and I will talk about that in a little bit. But first, I would like to look at some verses, and two verses here in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. Paul there was just saying here, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobate. And I think he was referring there that, you know, their lives were showing Christ. And he was challenging people there. And I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 through 13. And a very familiar passage here about the ten virgins. And we can see here that in this passage here, there's five of them that had taken stock of their lives. they were prepared for whatever was coming. But five of them had not. And we can see that as we read into these verses here. And I'd like to start reading here in verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour, wherein the Son of Man cometh. I think this passage here is giving us a warning of being prepared for when the Lord comes. And I it's not exactly where I was wanting to head with this message, but I believe that we heard that message this morning. And we were warned about being prepared. But a piece in verse 3 here, it tells us the foolish that they took no oil with them. And in verse 5 there, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. It would appear that in this passage, the message there is that it took longer or it went different than what they were visualizing or planning for. And so they didn't have what it took. And we see the outcome of that. And that is in, we think about life and we think about living life, and we have expectations and plans that we make, and when those things go, fall through the cracks, it can really throw us for a loop. And it would seem like, in this case, that's a little bit what happened. 5 of them were ready for that, had preparations made. 5 of them didn't, and they were scrambling. And by the time they got their act together, it didn't work out for them in this passage. And so that's a challenge for us to think about. In Genesis, I've been reading in Genesis recently, and I love the passage there, Joseph's life, and you see how he seems to just stride through, whatever comes along. His brothers rejected him. In Genesis chapter 37 there, and before, I think, but his brothers didn't accept him and didn't want Joseph in his life, and they, almost killed him. But instead they decided to, we might as well take some gain, let's sell him, and we have, a few dollars to spend maybe. And so They got rid of Joseph there. But we see that Joseph, you know, in the midst of that rejection, Joseph did well. He, you know, he moved, he was sold and became a slave, and he served his master well. He was prepared. He had what it took. You know, I don't think when Joseph was told to go see his brothers that he was, that the game plan was, is like, well, my brothers are gonna hate me and they're gonna throw me in a dungeon and then they're gonna sell me. You know, I don't think that was part of Joseph's plan. But he got, you know, he didn't get any love from them at all and was totally rejected. And but we see him moving through that phase and accepting where he was at, and I'm sure that came with its struggles. But he obviously accepted that and served his master well. And temptations came along. And, you know, something that stood out to me as I was reading that, that these temptations were coming to him day by day from his master's wife. You know, she was pushing in on him. It wasn't just a one-time occurrence, but it continued to happen. And he was prepared. He had what it took to walk through that and to walk away. Even in the heat of the moment, he took blame for what he was trying not to do, and you know, was thrown into prison, and there he shone too. He was faithful to the people there. And so we see that, you know, it would seem like in Joseph's life there, that he was continually taking stock of his life, where he stood. You know, he had opportunity to there was people that he needed to forgive because they obviously hurt him. And it's hard to, at least in my experience, it's hard to hold a grudge and bitterness and to serve well at the same time. And so we can see that he did well in taking stock of his life and staying current with God and staying current with his people that were around him. Going to at work in towards the end of the year, we usually at work, we take some time and clean things up and we try to organize some things. And one of the reasons that we organize is because we like to take, or we need to take, inventory of our products so we know what we have and know how to finish up our books. But there was a particular room that wasn't very organized, and it had lots of garage doors in it, and looked like a lot of good garage doors, but we didn't know exactly where everything was when we needed it. And we spent, and I was involved in that, and we spent time going through trying to organize that. But what I realized when we got in the middle of it is that it was even worse than I thought. You know, I found doors that we didn't know we had, and we found other doors that I knew there was pieces missing. And so it turned into a bigger mess than what I thought. And it took a lot of man hours to fix, and it didn't feel like it was very productive time, because after all, it's just garage doors. But if we saw it through, and in the end, there's great reward, because now you can walk through this room and you can, with confidence, know what you're getting. And if you you know that what you're looking at. But the piece that, when we start taking stock of our lives, and in this case, stock of these doors, it got worse before it got better. And it, it brought some, it didn't feel productive at the time. And if we're, in this case, if we're nearsighted and only focusing on, it's like, well, we put this energy into something else, we don't have to deal with this, and it would actually feel more productive. But if we have a long goal vision of how that works, when we have that, we can see that having it in place and knowing what that room looks like, that it will bear fruit. So when we think of our lives and taking stock of our spiritual lives, what are things that maybe keep us from doing that? Is it, it can be the fear of the results. We know we have a mess, but when we dig into it, maybe we're afraid that it's going to be bigger than what we know. Maybe we've tried this before and we found, it didn't seem like it lasted. It didn't work. Well, I can, in that garage door room, that's an area that this isn't the first time that we've done this. And it probably isn't going to be the last time. But it's something that's like, how'd this happen? It got away from us. We need to deal with this. And it takes time. So if you're feeling like thinking about our spiritual lives and it's like, well, I've tried it and it didn't hold up, take courage and do it again and go further. Seek the Lord. Get people involved to help you. I'd like to turn to Philippians. God wants He wants to help us to have our lives in order. He wants us, as we look at our lives, as we walk through these rooms of our lives, so to speak, He wants us to feel good about them. And we know that of ourselves that we won't, but He wants to help us so we can. In Philippians chapter 3, just like to read some verses here. In verse 1 to 3, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Be aware of dogs, be aware of evil workers, be aware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Paul is telling us here to be aware of these things in our lives, evil workers. And he's reminding us that we worship God in the Spirit. And we rejoice in Christ Jesus. And he's telling us here that we're not to have confidence in the flesh, in earthly things, but rather have confidence in Christ. In verse 4 here, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law blameless. Paul was telling us here that, you know, if anyone has reason to boast, he thought that he would in our own abilities or, you know, accomplishments. And he's counted those things as nothing and has turned to Christ. And that is, you know, that is what we need to do, not put our confidence in our own doings. You know, it will not sustain us. But if we can have our confidence in Christ, in his love, and allow him to guide us. In verse 13 and 14 here in Philippians 3, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things that are behind. When we think about, you know, taking stock of our lives, and we think about walking into this room that is unorganized, and we know that it has a mess in it, and we are reminded as we walk into it, it's like, well, I've gone through this before. I've cleaned this up before. Here I am again. And it's easy to look at it discouraged and say, you know what? That's hard work. It's going to remind me of too many things that I don't want to deal with, or I don't even know how to deal with. As I sorted through those doors and I found parts here and there, it's like, well, what do I do with this? Decisions to make. In Philippians here, he's reminding us, you know, think about, you know, forget those things that are behind us, reaching forth unto those things before. You know, having a focus on the fruits that they will bring as we let go of the past and move towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let that be our focus. This journey, you know, this kind of journey means leaving behind the old and discovering what God has for us in the future, moving forward, and not letting, you know, not letting discouragement or fear creep in from behind and take over. How do we keep those things from creeping in from behind us? Keep our lives current with God. You know, striving to keep our lives current with the Lord, current with our brothers and sisters. To keep moving forward, you know, keeping our eyes focused on the Lord, we need to read to hide His word in our hearts. Being in prayer, in Romans 12, verse 12 there, continuing instant in prayer. Continuing, you know, as things come up that concern us, you know, we cover them, we give them to the Lord, our concerns, our desires, our joys. We talk to God about those things. In Acts, a couple different places, you know, we see brothers coming together and praying together. In Acts chapter 12 there, I think they were praying for Peter because he was in trouble. And the church was together praying, and you know, when Peter showed up there, they couldn't believe their eyes. We see that, you know, I think spending time together in prayer, you know, it unifies the heart. It draws our hearts together and our hearts to the Lord. Having accountability in our lives, you know, when we trying to keep our hearts focused in the right direction, you know, when we invite accountability into our lives, it helps us. But it is something that the human nature tends to shy away from this. We like to do our own thing. I was talking to a young man that started working for us there at Hillview, and he's had his struggles, and he was talking about that's something he needs in his life, and he has different people that keep track of him so he can go where he wants to go. He has a vision of where he wants to be, but he realized from repeated failure that, you know, he needs this. And so, you know, those are pieces, as we allow or invite those things into our lives, they can be a help to us. It helps us to stay focused on our goals, not on our past. You know, these things aren't put in place to help us focus on our past, but on our future. Pursue unity. You know, pursue unity in our lives. You know, as we pray, as we share, as we read God's word, as we invite accountability, you know, it can bring unity into our lives. And I was reminded of that as I listened to some of the testimonies that were shared from those that were captured there in Haiti and found an escape, and how that peace was so important in their lives. You know, they were stuck in there for, I don't know, a couple months, I think. And in order for them to take this plan of escaping, they all had to be on the same page. Because they were told that if some of them managed to escape and some of them stayed behind, that they would lose their lives. And so there was risk. And when they chose to do this, and it was very important that they all work together. And so unity was something that had to be in place. They had to all be in agreement. And so, you know, it just showed me the power of when people are working together, and the testimony that was into, you know, realize the danger that they were taking, and, you know, the fear that they might have faced. But they had to give that to the Lord too and just rest in the Lord. And then finally, in Matthew chapter 11, when we look at these, it talks about rest. You know, as we look at taking stock of our lives, he promises us here that he will give us rest. In chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So as we take stock of our lives, our current relationship with the Lord, you know, where's that at? Our current relationship with our brothers and sisters. Time spent reading His Word. Prayer, alone time, prayer with God. How much do we, you know, rely on the Lord? How much are we, you know, are we trying to carry these burdens alone, or do we seek the Lord in these things? Praying with others. Are we seeking accountability in our lives? Do we find ourselves pursuing unity and resting in the Lord? Do we find our souls resting in the Lord? Do we find ourselves coming to the Lord? As we go down over, you know, as we take stock of our lives and we go over these, and I'm sure there's many more that we can look at, but I think some of these, you know, these things will really help hold us together and hold us where we want to be. What areas does God want to take you further in as we look at these? And maybe there's others that God is pressing on you. Are there areas that you have, that you know as you look at this, that I'm lacking? And it probably, if we're honest with ourselves, you know, our needs, our lackings probably change from time to time. But something that I would like to point out to you as we look at things and as believers, as we open our lives up and try to take stock of our lives, you know, it's easy as we do that. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm not doing very good here. And here I've been stumbling. And we quickly feel discouraged. I'd like to point out that as God is pointing these things out in your life, He's not showing you your failures to show you how bad you are. But rather, He is pointing them out because He wants you to succeed. He wants you to be able to be faithful and strong. And so as you see these, as you see these shortcomings in your life, see the hand of God, a loving God pointing out, it's like, I want to help you be successful and strong. You know, we look at Joseph's life, and we see him just sliding through trial after trial. And they were tough. And he made it. God wants us to be in that place that we can do that. And as he points these things out, see the hand of God, a loving God that is saying, these are things that you want in your life. I want to help you. And if you put these things in place in your life, you can live a life like Joseph did. And so, let's take that as an encouragement. And a challenge. And allow God to have His way in our lives. In closing, I'd just like to read Matthew 11, verse 28 and following there. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. May God bless.